Come blast off in my time machine. Third eye feeling like an Evazine. Blast off, blast off, blast off, blast off. Come blast off in my time machine. Third eye feeling like an Evazine. Blast off, blast off, blast off, blast off.
Blast off on another epic episode of the Hyper Anomalous Esoteric Research Organization podcast, also known as Hero Paranormal. My name is Ryan, the paranormal pontificator of the airwaves, bringing you an unbelievable episode today. Broadcasting from spacewolfresearch.com in the Uinta Basin of Utah, we've got some things that have popped up on the radar since April 8th that I'm glad I didn't just slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, get that quick podcast out April 8th to talk about what many are calling a big nothing burger of an eclipse. It wasn't the Apoc eclipse, as many were claiming, not the end of the world, but some very interesting things did transpire, and we're going to go into those. But before we do, if you have not been over to heroparanormal.com, please check it out. Couple of reasons. There's a bunch of content over there. And aside from that, if you wanted to purchase any of the swag, we've got some stuff available in the shop now. Keep in mind, for the price of a cup of coffee a month, you can access all the content behind the paywall, and there's a ton of it. Also, if you want to support the podcast by just purchasing tangible items, there's another website you can visit. That's happinessmedical.com. Anything you purchase over there also supports the podcast. And let's get to it. So possibly the strangest, but oh so not strange, is the activating of the world's most powerful particle accelerator just in time for the April 8th eclipse. That's right, it's CERN. It restarted its Large Hadron Collider after what they call a regular, quote-unquote, winter maintenance. They said it's absolutely unrelated to the eclipse. However, it did start April 8th, the day of the eclipse. And interestingly, in a completely unrelated event, also on April 8th, Peter Higgs, the physicist who theorized about Higgs boson, that would be the one, the only God particle, which CERN and the world's most powerful particle accelerator proved existed. Well, Peter Higgs, one of the biggest giants of science, he died at the age of 94 on April 8th. The same day as the eclipse, and the same day CERN restarted its Large Hadron Collider. Unrelated, of course. All of these things are unrelated. And a statement from Edinburgh University said that he died in the city on Monday with very little about exactly how or why. But at 94, you kind of escape needing too much of an explanation. He was a charming and modest man, but he did, in fact, perish on the day that CERN reactivated and the day of the eclipse, April 8th. A coincidence, I suppose. But there's a lot of coincidences when you're dealing with particles and looking for the mysterious substance that makes up 28% of our world and our reality as we know it. They've proven other things, such as antimatter, of course, the God particle, which is also known as Higgs boson, the search for the holy grail of physics, the God particle, is one of the fundamental forces having to do with electromagnetism and strong nuclear forces. This scientist, Peter Higgs, theorized that these fundamental forces were something very real, at least in theory. In fact, the reason it is called Higgs boson is after, well, Peter Higgs. And the Large Hadron Collider seems like, at least publicly, it is all about our reality. Much of that revolves around hadrons. That's why it's called the Large Hadron Collider. Hadrons are groups of particles that include protons and ions. They travel in opposite directions at nearly light speed within the collider and are made to collide in a very unnatural way. This, of course, led to the discovery of Higgs boson particle, and physicist Peter Higgs, who in the 1960s postulated about the existence of the God particle, had this proven through the efforts and experiments of CERN and their Large Hadron Collider. Now, where things get really interesting is the theories that many believe might be taking place at CERN. In fact, they are asked frequent questions and often reply to different theories. Specifically, let me name some of these replies on their fact page and other locations. Publicly, they've announced that no, they're not trying to quote-unquote open doors to other dimensions. Why would they come out and publicly say that if they are so sure they're not trying to do that? I don't know. They also said, and I quote, "We're not generating black holes in the cosmological sense," end of quote. Does that mean they're generating black holes in a non-cosmological sense? Many people wonder if there may be other theories in connection with CERN that maybe have less to do with our reality and more to do with other realities or scientific research linking the two. These are common theories. So common, in fact, that the group at CERN have basically addressed these in a very public manner. All right, and I'm about to let CERN off the hook, well, at least somewhat, because the interesting physics involved in their data seems to have a lot to do with things that are naturally occurring in our cosmos. And the reason I say that is because their experiments, although they have claimed that there was no reason, for example, on April 8th, there was just pure coincidence that the eclipse was taking place and that the CERN particle collider was firing up. And, you know, this is just a coincidence, nothing more. In fact, the official quote was, "Although the solar eclipse on the 8th of April will not affect the beams in the Large Hadron Collider, the gravitational pull of the moon, like the tides, changes the shape of the Large Hadron Collider because the machine is so big." Now, this phenomenon seems to be interesting because we're talking about distortions in the machine, which are brought about by the moon, specifically full moons, and proximity. So, therefore, although they claim it's strictly coincidental, there is some effect. Moving on, there was also some effect to naturally occurring life forms. And by that I mean, I was in the Uinta Basin of Utah, looking for anything that might be a little out of place, and noticed something that was a little out of place. Most would probably brush it off as, again, another coincidence, but right as the eclipse was taking place, flocks of crows were acting very anxious. They were very vocal. They were flying in formations which did not seem normal in any way whatsoever. I gathered some footage of it. And they seemed to know that something was taking place, and they weren't too happy about it. This anxiety culminated in this strange flight and vocalization and activity in the fields. Also, specifically at around that time, I received a call from my wife in Las Vegas and found out that there was an active shooter situation, and this was taking place somewhere that was less than a mile away from a school where my children were present. So kind of scary on my end, but maybe, just maybe, everything is not a coincidence. Maybe biological life forms, human and animal, have a tendency to be aware of when things don't seem quite right or become a little bit unhinged, if you want to call it that, a little emotional, a little anxious. I'm not sure, but there was a lot of coincidences. April 8th, whether talking about the collider, science, and culminations of all sorts of weird energy. In fact, some of that energy was also a little off. You know, as we know, there is a conflict with Ukraine and Russia. And April 8th, it appears that there was an attack of a possibly nuclear type. Now, this is the first time this has happened in quite some time. It's interesting that this would take place April 8th. Now, let me clarify, this was not a nuclear bomb, but rather a nuclear power plant in Ukraine, which is technically under control of Russia. Apparently, it was damaged Sunday in a drone attack. Now, what's very odd about this is that neither Russia or Ukraine are claiming responsibility for the strike. In fact, in typical manner, they are both accusing one another of carrying it out. It's confusing, but what we do know is that the Russian-controlled nuclear reactor was damaged following the drone attack. And this is a concern because it is a nuclear reactor. It's also a clear violation because it increases the risk of a major nuclear accident. Very reckless. But Russian authorities accuse the Ukrainian military of carrying out the series of attacks, saying that they were utilizing self-exploding drones. Now, the International Atomic Energy Agency has people boots on the ground there, and their experts say that this is the first time the nuclear plant, Europe's largest, by the way, was directly targeted. And this was since November of 2022 when all this started. And they said that this endangered the entire region's nuclear safety. Russian forces, of course, took control of the plant in 2022. And of course, both sides are accusing each other of messing with something that should not be messed with. Ukraine accused Russia when they took over the plant, and now Russia is accusing Ukraine of bombing the plant. And all of this taking place, coincidentally, April 8th, the day of the eclipse. The eclipse which they are calling the Great American Eclipse. And this is interesting because they've dubbed this across much of the United States. And it seems to have something big as far as astrologers are concerned. They believe there are effects that come from the solar eclipse and that it offers everyone a new beginning and a chance to heal from the past. In astrology, new moons represent new beginnings. But you have to do the work. You have to remove the ties from the past according to these astrologers. And I know what you're thinking. I'm not down with that astrology stuff. A lot of people don't believe in it. Keep in mind that J.P. Morgan said, millionaires don't use astrology, billionaires do. And April 8th will definitely go down in history as one of the stranger dates to come across the landscape. And it's a strange landscape indeed. And CERN seems to have more to do with the landscape than they may even know. In fact, Harvard professor Avi Loeb claims that UFOs have traveled to Earth via what he calls extra dimensions that CERN scientists are trying to unlock. It sounds far-fetched. However, the theory comes from efforts to prove we are not alone, a theory Avi Loeb has been working on for quite some time. And he claims that extraterrestrial visitors are traveling through hidden dimensions created by researchers at the CERN Particle Accelerator. How and why? Well, the accelerator, the Large Hadron Collider, blasts particles nearly the speed of light to recreate conditions of the Big Bang Theory. Of course, they're hoping for uncovering hidden dimensions that will reveal how our universe formed. However, speaking in a new documentary, Avi Loeb said that alien civilizations may have been developing dimension-hopping technologies for millennia, if not for billions of years. The physicist also noted that extraterrestrials may be using theoretical quantum gravity engineering to travel through what he called curled dimensions, which we, humans, can only detect in particle accelerators such as CERN. And there have been those whistleblowers, if you want to call them that. They try to protect their identities in most cases, but those who work at particle colliders, CERN as well, and who claim that entities have come through when these things are fired up. In fact, some have gone as far as to say that their job is to suppress these entities in whatever way, shape, or form possible when they do come through. Now, folks at CERN are not always willing to talk because they're worried that there could be repercussions. But there have been enough whistleblowers who have come forward talking about these things that it is certainly an odd situation. And Switzerland is an odd place. It's an odd place to have a place like CERN. In fact, Switzerland has enough underground bunkers for everyone in case of nuclear war or apocalyptic events. And they could literally create a new civilization underground. Yeah, there's loads of bunkers in Switzerland. Keep in mind, CERN is, of course, underground. So how many bunkers are there? Well, apparently, when you have a modest-sized population of only 8 million, and you are in a very well-placed area with seriously big mountains which protect you, would it seem appropriate to have 360,000 bunkers? And some of these bunkers are huge. You heard me right. 360,000 that we know of. Let's not even talk about the ones we don't know of. And some of these bunkers are absolutely massive. In fact, there are some videos online where you can go in and look at some of these bunkers. And some of them you can house hundreds and hundreds of people in, if not more. One bunker in particular that I saw online had massive kitchens, massive showers, massive, I mean, we're talking for hundreds of people. So these bunkers are something that, well, raises an eyebrow here and there. But CERN is in Switzerland, partially in France as well. And there are plans to make a new particle collider, a new larger Hadron Collider. These plans are already in the works. And to give you an idea how big this thing is going to be, it's going to be bigger than the entire country. They are calling it the Future Circular Collider. And it is going to be amazingly huge. It's going to be finished up, at least in their estimation, around 2040. And it is going to develop a little bit differently than the current generation of high-performance particle colliders. According to CERN itself, the new collider will examine scenarios for three different types of particle collisions: hadron collisions, proton and proton and heavy ion collisions, electron-positron collisions, and other options will include proton-electron collisions or proton-heavy ion collisions. So we're going to be slamming everything together. And experts are performing in-depth analysis of the infrastructure required and needed for the operation. They're looking at the concepts and the key technologies required. This is going to be next level and will have what they're calling a high luminosity phase. It should be finished around 2040, and it is going to be absolutely massive. With a price tag of potentially over $17 billion, the super collider will require boring a circular tunnel around 200 meters underground, and this will begin as early as 2033. The 91-kilometer-long tunnel will have four experimental halls, and it would basically encircle a larger area than Chicago. As far-fetched as all this sounds, feasibility studies have basically maintained that it's necessary. They need this, and Europe is pushing forward with the plans, and all of this is needed. Why again? Well, to study our reality. But as Avi Loeb said and theorized, could they inadvertently be opening these parallel dimensions and allowing other entities in without knowing it? Well, it's possible. And Switzerland is a place where the impossible seems to become possible, much like with the case of CERN and its experiments. Historically, there's been some impossibilities that we're finding are now reality. But there's some mysteries and hidden secrets below Switzerland. So there's a lot going on underground in Switzerland, and there's a lot more that's going to be going on underground in Switzerland. There's bunkers galore, and there seems to have always been a lot going on underground. Specifically, more than 1,200 works of art have been found. And this is, well, Nazi stolen art. This is art that was stolen by the Nazis. And in what is being called a web of deceit and silence, this stuff is being stored in vaults in Switzerland and many times underground. Now, it's not just art. There's more. There's also billions in looted Nazi gold. And this is according to very official individuals in more than a 200-page report. And this was based on 14 million pages of U.S. government documents. It has been found that, well, the Swiss had a role in the war as bankers and even money launderers for the Third Reich that we know of. And according to some of these reports, the Swiss agreed to return $58 million of Nazi gold received during the war. Now, documents in the reports show that the Swiss took $425 million in what they're calling looted gold, which would be worth more than $4.25 billion by today's standards. So, gold from camps that was sent to the German Central Bank, where it was re-smelted, and then off to Switzerland. Now, some of the gold was just plain stolen, but let me clarify how and the methods with which some of this gold came about, because they are quite dark. In fact, one document revealed that 76 shipments of looted gold, including dental gold, were sent to the German Central Bank valued at more than $150 million. And many of the items even had the stamp of Auschwitz on them. There seems to be this belief that being neutral is always a good thing, but there's a reason why the ultra-wealthy, the power elite, and the superclass like to keep their money in Swiss banks. The role of Swiss financial institutions in the overall plunder of many cultures has been extensive. And the reputation as a neutral safe haven has been, well, let's just say tarnished in recent times with revelations about some of these not so positive transactions. Switzerland has served as a repository for the world elite to store their money and store it off the books, so to speak, for years and years, generations. In fact, it's well known that if you have a Swiss bank account and you have the number, you don't need to prove anything beyond that. As long as you have that number, that's your wealth. In fact, there's been so much light shed on this very dark history that May 2nd, 1996, Swiss banking officials signed an agreement with the World Jewish Congress and the World Jewish Restitution Organization to investigate deposits of Holocaust victims, which, well, basically disappeared. They just took the money. So it's starting to become more obvious why Switzerland was neutral, at least during the Second World War, because they were holding everybody's money, specifically those who we would consider the bad guys. And jumping forward, it seems that other countries are also complicit to some extent. Now, some of this gold has been sent to the United States, 2 tons, in fact. And they've been sitting under the vault of the U.S. Federal Reserve for over 50 years. They're not the only ones. Now, this is the balance here is a little bit askew. The U.K. is also involved. And while in some cases, Switzerland is sending money to these countries to, well, not admit that they did anything wrong, but to somewhat pay off these wrongdoings, the delay in overcoming the legal and bureaucratic obstacles seems to be taking forever. And all the while, these governments are hanging on to that money. But the lion's share of the money, according to many, still resides in vaults, many located underground, in the Swiss countryside. And much like the bunkers in the Swiss Alps, on the side and into the mountains themselves, the entrances are so camouflaged that you can't even find them without a trained eye. And these are fortified by the mountains themselves and almost impenetrable. Talk about secrets. And it's not just gold. It's also stolen diamonds, artwork as well, and who knows what other treasures. So I don't know about you, but to me it makes sense why CERN is in Switzerland, because they definitely know how to keep secrets. Now, I don't want to talk badly about the Swiss. They are good people. However, there do appear to be some cabals of dark Swiss bankers which have unfairly used the country's neutrality status to justify dark dealings. I don't know how else to describe it when you're talking about hundreds of pounds of gold dental crowns, fillings, watches, candlesticks, wedding rings, gathered from deceased victims, and smelted into gold bars. It seems about as dark as you can get. And that's what happens on eclipse days as well, right? You're having the sun blocked out, at least temporarily. And that light, that life-giving light, blocked by a cosmological event. April 8th was a weird one, and it's not just CERN and the Switzerland connection. There's much more which transpired on that day. There was a very interesting project that NASA was involved with, shooting rockets in the direction of the eclipse, and this was named, the whole project that is, was named after a Egyptian deity that resembled a snake. Now, NASA has long been known to name many of their missions after gods, Greek, Egyptian, and others, and they also include little messages, phrases, and otherwise esoteric occult information on the rockets themselves. This has always kind of been something they have fun with and make patches and challenge coins and other memorabilia. But is there something more to it? Many believe there is. And among those people, there is the professor of theology, Diana Walsh Pasolka, who believes this is more of a ritual than people might actually know. And keep in mind that space is, in a way, the heavens. So writing the names of deities or phrases on these rockets before they are launched into the heavens may very well be ritualistic in a very symbolic sense. April 8th, the Epoch Eclipse, as some have called it, not the end of the world, but a lot of strange things, as we've been noting, did transpire. We had, of course, shootings, CERN, and a very interesting array of high strangeness across many different cultures, specifically the ordeal in Russia, which, if you haven't heard of this one was kind of a jaw-dropper. We had the Russians claiming that Ukraine was sending drones towards the largest European nuclear energy plant. And this is a plant which was taken by Russia, at least control of the plant was taken by Russia in November of 2022. Now, the Russians claimed the Ukrainians were sending these drones, kamikaze drones with warheads on them that would explode on impact, and that Ukrainians were flying these into the facility. Now, what's odd is, of course, Ukraine was making the same claims when Russia took the plant over back in 2022. However, this time, go figure, it's the tables have turned. Now, regardless of what is actually taking place, no data has been secured, but it does appear as if the plant was damaged. And this could have turned into a major nuclear event on April 8th. Just another coincidence. Of course, we have animals acting strangely. Specifically, I witnessed crows in the Uinta Basin of Utah right at the time of the eclipse, acting very anxious. All huddled up, flying in strange patterns. Definitely not normal. They knew something was going on. And I also received a call from my wife because there was an active shooter situation in Las Vegas. And actually, it took place less than a mile from where my kids were at that time, which was kind of scary. So we have all kinds of things getting unhinged April 8th. And it's not just things coming unhinged, it's things coming into the world as we know it. Specifically, a strange, odd, and almost biblical cicada hatch is in the works. Let's just say it's in the works. And they will be hatching and taking over portions of the northeastern United States, and actually they go pretty far south as well. And we're going to get more cicadas, biblical numbers. And farmers are worried, people are worried. When there's this many insects, hatches like these can, you know, if they land on a roadway, there's been instances where cars actually slide off the road. Of course, they could devastate all kinds of things, cover windshields when you're driving. And it's just unfathomable when you get these kinds of numbers. And this is kind of an apocalyptic hatch, if you want to call it that, because the last time this happened was 221 years ago. Let's just say Thomas Jefferson was president, and this is not supposed to happen again until the year 2244, which is wild enough. But April 8th doesn't stop there. The coincidences just keep layering and layering and layering. In fact, April 8th is the date that Ponce de Leon began exploring Florida and eventually found the Fountain of Youth. April 8th is also the date that the 13th Amendment went into action and we abolished slavery. Now, interestingly enough, things get weird right around April 8th and the eclipse, and specifically I'm talking about really weird. There's ambiguous signs, and the insects are just one of them, these hordes of cicadas. We also have these 5 red heifers, which Israel believes will be sacrificed, and then a special time will occur where they can build a third temple. Now, what is all this sacrifice and then the ceremonial burning of these animals got to do with the reality of what's taking place? Well, what exactly is a red heifer? It is a perfect, without blemish, cow, a heifer, which has not bore young, has not been worked, and has not been milked. Now, these cannot have any blemishes, according to Scripture. That's kind of the point. And there's 5 of them. Now, what is the ceremonial burning after they are sacrificed? It gets a little bit more convoluted and complicated, and it's not entirely clear or known, because the last time this was all done, it was done when there was a Jewish temple 2,000 years ago. But that's in the works. The sacrifice is imminent. And then Israel believes that they can get rid of a mosque compound where they would like to build this third temple. So a lot going on, a lot in the works, all kinds of wars, and there's additional threats of war from other countries. And this is all revolving around this time period where we have all this high strangeness, an eclipse, and April 8th has some importance historically. It's also the day that the New York Stock Exchange was founded in 1817. And it is also the day that the Internal Revenue Service began to collect income taxes in 1913. And it is also the day in 2022 when Joe Biden announced that the U.S. would begin banning Russian oil imports. And Joe Biden has promised what he is calling, and I quote, ironclad support for Israel. And this is in the face of threats and reprisals by Iran. In fact, their supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, said, and I quote, Israel must be punished, and it shall be. And this is for allegedly attacking an Iranian consular building in Syria's Damascus. It killed 2 generals among several Islamic Revolutionary Guard. Khamenei claims that the bombing at the embassy site was equivalent to Israel attacking their territory. And now they want reprisal. So we have threats of future attacks. We have threats of possible future wars. We have current wars. We have just an assemblage of all kinds of chaos taking place. All kinds of new beginnings, which aren't necessarily a good thing. And that new moon, solar eclipse, may have something to do with it all. A lot of coincidences. And although it was not the apocalypse, whether we're talking about bunkers and underground vaults in the Swiss Alps, chaos in the Middle East, NASA shooting rockets at the eclipse, or CERN firing up its Large Hadron Collider, it's hard to say that absolutely nothing happened. Until next time, keep your eyes to the skies, feet on the ground, but don't forget to take a look around.
Follow me with your darkest eyes. Follow me with your shape-shifting smiles, and I see you. Maybe they'll believe you. Illuminati, occult, dawn, trial. Silver discs and hidden files, and we